Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
You go from turning my mic off all the time to turning it on too early.
Well, people don't know that. You're... talking constantly.
That's what my wife says.
When she can get a word in edgewise.
Right.
All right. Welcome on board. He is Mr. Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's a very active and eager community leader. He was on Fred Keller's CSVT tour yesterday, so he got to see all
I wasn't. I helped organize it for him.
But you didn't go on it?
I didn't go on it, no.
Oh.
No.
Isn't that funny? I did not either, but nor was I invited, makes perfect sense.
I've been involved with it, and I thought Fred just wanted an update on his own. So when asked me to set it up with PennDOT, it was easy to do, but I did not include myself on the guest list.
All right, we had a brief chit-chat with Ted Deptula yesterday. Mr. Keller got a chance to see the CSVT up close and personal.
And he deserves it because he was one of those people who really went to bat to get us the funding for it.
Primarily state dollars involved in the CSVT.
Well, we have about $150-160 million in federal dollars that were gotten for us from Congressman Carney when he was our congressman in Washington. And the rest is state funding gotten for us by Senator Gordner, Senator Yaw, Fred, and Linda Culver and Kurt Mosser.
Money gotten for us. Is that grammatically?
Obtained.
Thank you.
I gotten the money. No, you're right. That wouldn't be. Well, he gotten. No, I guess you're right.
It was money gotten for us. No,
it was money obtained.
Sounds out
to build the bypass.
All right. But anyway, back to the original question. It's primarily funded by additional state
money
state
now,
dollars.
Yes. The overwhelming portion of it will be funded by the state.
Great. Okay. So the CSVT bridge, the topic of the tour. You can read Mr. Keller's comments about this at WKOK.com if you want to. I'll read a couple of those on the air during our news headlines at 9:06. Mr. Keller, of course, was on the show yesterday.
Exclusively.
Right. Well, yeah, there you go. He wasn't on the radio at the Daily Item or the Milton Standard. He was only on the radio on WKOK yesterday. Although I guess the photographer from the Daily Item was on the CSVT tour also, and there's pictures in the paper, I suppose.
I don't know who invited the media. I thought it was just to be for Congressman Keller.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, everybody was invited. So, yes, Mr. Ted, he doesn't do anything anonymously. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We have a couple of emails pending, one of which is from Congressman Keller's visit here. We had the Democratic debate last night, so we can comment on that. We have Don Lemon is one of the many journalists who recognize the president as racist and includes that in his questions, so we can talk about that. But we have open phones. Let's take things in the order that they arrove, which would be emails, the most recent ones. Joe, if you
all
would.
All right. Well, that would be down here at the bottom.
That would be the oldest one.
Okay. The most recent one signed by Chris. It says, I believe Keller praised Moscow Mitch for forcing Pelosi to bring up the NDA, the National Defense Act, but in the House it got no Republican votes. So Keller voted against it, I guess. Hypocrite? Much. And the House bill was about 5% less than the Senate bill for Mr. Deficit Hawk Keller, or did I mishear the bill he was talking about? And why don't spending bills have to originate in the House anymore? Signed, Chris. Actually, they are supposed to originate in the House.
pure spending bills, but bills that do things that cost money, cannot they start in the Senate?
Sure, but the money might not be attached to them.
Okay. So
where it gets paid or how it gets paid.
No funding.
I'm not familiar with that part of the bill. I don't recall that part of Congressman Keller's discussion yesterday. Do you? Am I missing something?
Not specifically. Once we got into some specific bills, I think we went to one to another so fast you couldn't catch. But the bottom line is, if the Democrats aren't getting any recognition for anything they're trying to advance, and the Democrats have had some, potentially good bills stymied because they don't have any Republican support at all whatsoever.
Well, and if you listen to the Congressman Keller, Speaker Pelosi is sitting on a number of good bills that would benefit the country, but she won't bring them up because the Republicans favor them.
Yet he rejects the term dysfunctional
and gridlock
to describe Congress.
I think Fred's an optimist, and I think he's hoping that things will get better down there. But
he sees the best in people.
Yes, he does.
Rather than the outcomes of a...
And he is. I kind of kiddingly referred to him as Jiminy Cricket yesterday. I think I did that off the air. And if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. Fred's very much that way. I mean, he's a very positive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually will decline to speak ill of anyone. Matter of fact, my experience is he seldom ever says a negative word.
I don't think I've ever heard him speak an ill word of it.
Or never has heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day.
Publicly or privately.
No, Fred's a good guy.
Well, yeah, that's... you might not like his politics, but you probably would appreciate that. At least you kind of know where you stand. He would tell you, I don't support that because it would, it's a deficit buster or whatever it happens to be.
Well, he does. I think what Fred's hallmark when he was in the state house was you ask him a direct question, you got a direct answer. I noticed yesterday I asked him a couple of direct questions about policy, and he brought it back to some talking points.
Right, to the Democrats investigating several things.
Several things.
That's too bad. He did not used to do that.
No,
so that is the new Fred.
I think that's the Fred that, has to some extent, like all congressmen, has to submit somewhat to their party. You can't exist down there on your own. Joe Lieberman tried it in the Senate, but there aren't too many people who try it successfully in the House. Even if you're an independent, you have to caucus with one side or the other.
We are talking about Congressman Keller as sort of how he fits into Washington and then fits back into the central Susquehanna Valley. So we would love your comment about this. Maybe you have the same observation that Fred has had to sort of change his rhetoric once he got back from Washington, D.C. What's your opinion about that? 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Also, if you have a reaction to last night's Democratic debate, Joe Biden came out swinging, and let's see.
Called Kamala Harris
Gabbard.
Kid.
Okay.
Go easy on me, kid. I say that to you at the start of every program.
Right. I'm 60 now. You're only 16 years older than me. It's not like you're 100 years old.
You're still
older.
A kid to me.
Okay. Well, yeah, comparatively speaking. All right. 1-800-795-9565. So the Democratic debate and Mr. Keller's evolution of his remarks. Yeah, one of our Facebook commenters noticed that as well. Said it was too bad that, all of the important topics that could have been discussed or that could have been talked about all ended up being dissing the Democrats for the investigations of the president and his family and his henchmen and so on.
Well, unless you take it at face value that Fred believes, and I think he probably does believe, that these investigations are impeding the work that could be going on. In other words, time and money spent investigating is not being spent on solving border issues, is not being spent on solving health care. And I think the president, as I said yesterday, the big debate last night at the Democratic convention was over Medicare for all versus private insurance versus how we're going to pay for all this. And I think that, when I wanted to specifically ask the congressman yesterday, has he heard of any Republican plan? And the only thing that I've heard, first, President Trump said he will unveil something after the election. Well, unveil it now. I think if health care is going to be a major issue, we need to hear who's proposing what. The people who are proposing Medicare for all, I'm sorry, are delusional. That is a financial disaster. Those who propose modifying and strengthening Obamacare, I think, are on firmer ground. I was surprised that Vice President Biden last night had to spend so much time defending Obamacare. He really did. I mean, the people from the far, far left are coming after him Kamala Harris and the others on Medicare for All. And God forbid that we would elect the mayor of New York as the president of the United States.
Well, but I think part of the reason that Medicare for All is gaining traction is because we are already spending way too much on health care, and so why not include everyone? Obamacare certainly carves out individuals who don't either can't get coverage or can't afford it is really okay. more likely. So I think that's probably why the Medicare for All, and you know, the one thing that I haven't done, and maybe you have, is to really look into this. How would it work? One of the things that we heard the night before when Bernie Sanders was talking about it is that if you had the Medicare for All plan, it could be paid for by taxes, by making taxes fairer on the wealthy. Who was it that said we're going to tax the heck out of them?
Well, and they
that was last night.
They asked, I forget who it was, they asked who was supporting that on the first debate night. They asked her about that question about, you know, who's going to wind up paying for all this. And they asked her directly if she would favor a tax on the middle class. You know, is the middle class going out to pay more in taxes to pay for this? She dodged the question.
Oh, didn't answer. Okay. Well, regardless, the bottom line is you have to look at the details of the plan. Who's going to be covered? One of the things Bernie Sanders said is that if you are covered by his Medicare for All plan, you do not necessarily need to sign up. If you have the wherewithal, the interest, the means, and the money, and you want to sign up for your own health care plan, private insurance companies will still exist, and you would have that option to keep everything you have the way that it is with no change.
Well, that's what President Obama promised as well, and that didn't quite work out. But I do think that...
Was that a famous quote or just an incidental one?
Yes, it was a famous quote.
Yes.
That, you know, you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. You like your plan, keep your plan. I don't think Americans want to hear that anymore because they bought it the first time. They're not dumb enough to buy it again.
I don't know that they bought it. I just don't think it really matters. I think people had to switch because everything changed about health care and was already changing.
You want to give up your doctor?
Well,
and let's face it, if you go...
That's not the issue.
Well,
here's the wrong question.
Here's part of the issue. The part of the issue is we have a real shortage in family practice physicians in this country. They're declining, you know, and you make it to the point that they can't make any money, that they're burdened with high insurance costs, and the money they do make, we're going to tax the bejeepers out of them because they're now part of the wealthy upper 1%. So what's the incentive to go into medicine? You know, you can make more money doing other things. And we can't have Medicare for All if we don't have doctors for everybody.
1-800-795-9565. We are doing a brief review of the Democratic debate, but you are welcome to join us. Healthcare is the specific topic of conversation. One of our listeners suggests that we talk about racism and Don Lemon. So we are going to talk.
That's a biggie topic.
We are going to talk about that shortly. He is one of the many journalists that just simply stipulates that the president is racist. And of course, half the country doesn't think that's true. So I think it taints his questions. But in any event, we'll talk about that shortly. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Tom from Sunbury, Pennsylvania is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Well, Joe, and the far, far right are at it again with this Medicare for All and universal health care won't work. The only reason they're saying is because they don't want to get rid of the for-profit insurance and the Wall Street because it's making them too much money. So they make all these excuses up as to why universal health care and Medicare won't work. Where when it works in 50 other countries have it and it works, and their insurance costs half to two-thirds what ours cost for medical.
What costs half?
Joe and these far-right people, as what they're saying to me is, this country's stupid. We can't do what 50 other countries doing. And it's ridiculous. We can do it.
What are those 50 countries?
You've got to get rid of Wall Street. You cannot make, you cannot have a for-profit health care system and get the cost down because people that have that have investments, what do they want? They want more money. They don't buy investments because they want less money. They pay investments because they want to make money.
You can't
do that.
Would the same thing work with the automobile industry? Let's cut out all the costs there. Let's free automobiles for all.
The automobiles are making way too much money on Wall Street, too. Yeah, absolutely.
You realize
they're
that
making way too much money on Wall Street.
I don't like to throw labels around, but you're actually talking about a form of communism.
No, I'm not talking about a form of communism. I'm talking about what 50 other countries are doing, and they aren't communist countries either. If you think Canada is a communist country, or Finland, or Australia, or I don't know what all countries, there's about 50 countries that do this that have some form of health care, and it is all cheaper than ours, way, way cheaper. And all you guys on the right keep saying is, oh, it can't work, oh, it can't work, oh, it can't work. Well, it does work because it's been proven that it does work by 50 other countries.
Yes, and if you don't mind waiting 6 or 8 months for an MRI or an X-ray.
That's not true. That's not true
at
all.
Come on,
Joe. That's another one of your talking points.
He heard it on Fox News.
You don't want to give up this for-profit system because it puts too much money in your pockets, and that's what you guys' problem was.
All right.
That's what you guys want. You guys want to make a lot of money off of it, and then you expect it to get cheaper. Well, it's not going to happen. And Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and these other people, they got it right. You cannot let these people have this power over health care and expect it to get cheaper. They got all the politicians paid off to keep it this way. And okay. It's not going to work, and it's never going to work. You got to get rid of Wall Street. You got to get rid of the insurance companies like 50 other countries did. And then you can have cheap health insurance, and that's the only way you're going to do it.
I read an article that said it's important to note that free health care isn't actually free. Health care that is provided by government agencies is funded by citizens. Their taxes support all government operations, including health care expenditures. Savvy travelers know not to make offhand remarks about how lucky local residents are to have free health care in their country. You never know when you might get a sarcastic remark about how their tax bill didn't seem so free.
Well, of course you have to pay for it with taxes, but you're not going to have any, you're not going to have your company, whoever you work for, you're not going to have your company paying any money out for it. You're not going to have any money coming out of your paycheck. You're not going to go to the doctor and they're not going to have co-pays and deductibles. You're not going to have any of that. It's going to be replaced with taxes, but it's still going to be cheaper because you're not going to be paying all these people to get rich. Do you know that when, I don't know if you heard this or not, Aetna merged with CVS. Did you hear about that?
Aetna merged with CVS? No, I didn't.
Well,
yes.
One could buy the other. I'm not sure that
the merger is the right word.
They
paid the guy. Now, you can look this up. I dare you to look it up because it is a fact. They paid the guy that completed this merger between Aetna and CVS. You know what they gave him for a bonus?
Oh, CVS.
What? $500 million. $500 million he got for all that kind of stuff there. You're not going to get cheap health care with that kind of crap going on, and it's going on all the time.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Tom. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate the call.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.
Thank you. 1-800-795-9565 is the open line. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565. Two callers and one dialer. Bill is next in line. Good morning, Bill. You have gone from Q to on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, man.
Good morning, men.
Good morning.
Listen, you think at this point Trump has earned his word? Like, do you think that as far as keeping promises, do you think that he's lived up to that as far as what he's going to do and not do?
I think he's tried.
Well, you know, I mean, the House and Pelosi and all that fight, no matter what he does or whatever he proposes, right? They fight no matter what, right? And Trump, now, the health care is the biggest topic, right?
Right.
Trump was coming forth to present a health care plan. And then when Pelosi and the House started all the stuff, voting everything down against him, right? Trump has gone on record, and I believe that he's a man of his word, and I'm willing to wait. I'm willing to wait. He says, I have the best health care plan out there. He says, I'm not going to present it to this House. He goes, I have a plan. I'm not going to present it to this House to have them spin whatever. He goes, when I win the House, the next vote, when I win the House, he says, I will present the best health care plan ever. And he's a man of his word, and I'm willing to wait. So we win the House back as far as, I follow them. The House is won back. Trump will present his best health plan care ever. That's the best bet for Americans right now.
But, Bill, what happens if he doesn't win the House back? Is he going to sit on this wonderful plan forever?
It's worth the gamble. It's worth the gamble. Why should he come forward and present some bozo plan just so they can vote for it? Even if it was the worst plan out there, they're not going to vote for it. No matter what he does, they're not going to vote for it.
No, but if the American
that's the Americans' only hope right now as far as health care is for them to get the House back.
Right, but which is hardly guaranteed. I mean, it's not even likely.
There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee.
But, Bill,
but he's telling everybody, he's telling the Americans, for me to work with you guys, if I present the best plan right now, they're not going to do nothing. They're going to drag it out. They're going to drag it out. They're going to drag it out for the election of the House. They're going to do the same thing. We're going to win. You're going to win. We're going to drag it out for the president. We're going to try to win. You're not going to try to win. They do it on both sides.
But Bill, if he comes up with a good plan and he puts it out there and the Democrats refuse to vote for it, don't you think the American people are smart enough to realize, hey, he had a good plan and the Democrats are blocking it? Wouldn't that help the Republicans?
Well, he went on record, and this is what he's put out there on national TV and on print. He's put this out there. I'm not presenting a health care plan until
right.
The House back.
Okay.
Well, I generally support the president's policies, but to be honest with you, Bill, I don't believe him in this instance.
All right,
if he had a plan that was that good, he'd present it now and get the credit for it.
Another thing that Harvard, she didn't bring up about the Google blocking her, right? But she did attack Harris very, very hard because I think she wants to be the VP as far as having a military background for Biden, to run with Biden. So I think Biden and her might be trying to do something.
All right. Thank you so much, Bill. Appreciate the call. Tony, last caller before the top of the hour. Go right ahead. You are on the mark.
I watched some of those debates. I couldn't take it very long. the thing that these people want to run this country, it's unbelievable to me. What did we learn? We learned there are different type of races, medical races, truck driving races, who knows? All kinds of races. You complain about a rat, you're a racist. The big question they miss out of Baltimore is 13 school districts, not one student proficient in math. 9 school districts, not one student proficient in math and English. They don't mention that.
Locally?
That to me is a disgrace after all the billions of dollars thrown into education.
Where'd you see that number, Tony? Where did you see that? I haven't seen that anywhere.
What?
Not one in 9 school districts proficient in math and English.
That was on, who's that guy? Named after a fruit. Don Lemon. That was on his show.
Don Lemon said that?
No, Don Lemon.
A fruit.
But I forget who. Before.
Okay.
Bob Banana Show. anyway,
opinions.
Suffice to say that we have big problems in inner cities.
Well, inner cities, billions and billions of dollars, and nobody proficient. That's a disgrace.
So this is the president's fault or not the president's fault?
Not the president's fault.
Not the president's fault.
Well, it had nothing to do with the president.
Okay.
I think Trump is going to win and a Republican, and I'm a lifelong Democrat. I don't think I'm happy to say this. I think they are going to win with numbers that we can't even imagine. The people in this country are fed up. I am so sick and tired of hearing about white privilege. I mean, you had a guest host a couple of weeks. I mean, that guy was, everything to him was racism. Everybody's a racist. Yeah, I even wrote a letter and what did he say after you read my letter, Joe? Oh, signed the white guy.
Wow, I remember that. I was listening.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of guy? I mean, everything is racism to him. Everything. That's all they got. They have nothing else. And like I said, I'm a lifelong Democrat. No, I mean, I will stay that way. But this is beyond ridiculous.
Well, I do think we throw that racist word around an awful lot. And anybody disagrees with us, anybody who says a word of criticism against a person of color, the first thing we resort to is racist. They're a racist. Couldn't just be disagree with their opinions.
You complain about the rats in Baltimore, you're a racist?
What's interesting about that, did you hear they came up with a news clip of Elijah Cummings talking about how the people in his district are so drug-infested and they're walking around like zombies?
Well, Elijah Cummings, people have known about him for years.
Yeah. Only
someone like Trump could point it out. What's being said now is things that should have been said and people wanted to say for years.
All right, we got you.
We got to do it now.
Thank
hey,
you
listen,
so much.
Everybody have a great day.
Thank you, Tony. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m. Time for CBS News, then local headlines.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
And welcome back to On the Mark. Mark Lawrence has departed the control room for some reason or another, but he is now coming back. You wish to resume your seat here and continue with the program?
Oops, I'm sorry. That was never 6 minutes just now. I am so sorry. I went up to the newsroom to help solve a minor dilemma, and 6 minutes elapsed like that.
Well, it was a bigger dilemma making me get up and run across the room.
Sorry. Where's Mark? Okay. Well, let's...
I had no idea whether you were coming back. I was going to do a soliloquy on your shortcomings.
That would be a very, very, very short conversation. He's only 5'5" tall. That's it. That's the only shortcoming we can identify. Plus, his perception of time is a little off. All righty. We do have some brief news headlines, as promised. U.S. Congressman Fred Keller got a firsthand look at $500 million in highway work Wednesday, or at least some of it. He toured the site of the CSVT work area in Winfield, Union County, under the sprawling beams of the valley's new highest bridge. He talked about the work and the work. Quote, the Central Susquehanna Valley Thruway Project is a great taxpayer-funded infrastructure improvement investment that has already created jobs in the 12th Congressional District, unquote. The CSVT bridge site, the interchange at Route 15 and the new highway in Point Township are part of a primarily state-funded $700 million project. As for the economic development, he said, quote, the CSVT will help grow our economy for years to come after the project is completed. The State Attorney General Josh Shapiro was joined this week by law enforcement officials who are joining his initiative to reduce gun violence in Pennsylvania. Josh Shapiro, as many experts have indicated, says that you really only need to enforce your existing laws to reduce gun crimes.
The Attorney General's Track and Trace initiative seeks to reduce the number of stolen and illegally purchased firearms used in crimes. Along with police departments in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, the Pennsylvania State Police has also joined the effort. Major Douglas Berrig, who heads up the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, says this is part of an all-hands-on-deck approach to gun violence.
The Pennsylvania State Police is proud to be part of the Track and Trace working group to identify and implement ways to more effectively address issues of gun crime and gun violence across the Commonwealth.
District attorneys across Pennsylvania are also taking part, along with officials with the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
CNN's Don Lemon did not back down despite criticism from President Donald Trump, twice labeling presidential remarks as racist while he was moderating Wednesday's Democratic debate. Lemon, with partners Jake Tapper and Dana Bash, presided over a session with questions designed to highlight differences between the 10 candidates on stage, most of whom eagerly took the bait. Tuesday's night debate wasn't a ratings triumph for CNN. The Nielsen company said 8.7 million people watched, a sharp drop from the 15 million who saw the opening night of the first NBC debate last month. President Trump used Twitter Wednesday to attack Lemon after insulting Lemon's intelligence. The president said the CNN anchor had insinuated that Trump was a racist. Then in the president's tweet, he put in quotes and said, quote, "when in fact I am the least racist person in the world," unquote. Trump was apparently quoting himself in his tweet. Hours after the tweet was sent, Lemon asked Colorado Senator Michael Bennett what he would do to bridge a racial divide that has been stoked by the president's racism. In another question to the former Housing Secretary Julian Castro, Lemon referred to Trump's racist tweets about Baltimore and an attack on Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings last weekend. Trump had referred to Cummings' Baltimore district as a rodent-infested mess.
So, and ironically, Cummins referred to it the same way in an interview he gave a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
But it's racist now that the president said it.
Well, it is true. I think what we're finding is that journalists are stipulating that the president is a racist. So, all right, we have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. I have one more news story. Joe, you'll appreciate this. New York ethics officials are threatening to fine a woman for unregistered lobbying after she rented billboards to criticize state laws on molestation and to share her own story of abuse. Kat Sullivan, a nurse who says she was assaulted by her history teacher at a private school, was part of the successful push that prompted lawmakers to relax the statute of limitations on molestation this year. She now faces up to $75,000 in fines for violating a law that requiring individuals to register as a lobbyist if they spent more than $5,000 lobbying lawmakers. Sullivan said yesterday that the threat of being fined is an attempt to stop everyday citizens from getting involved. State ethics officials say lobbying rules apply to everyone and that voters have a right to know who is lobbying lawmakers. So do you think a private citizen who's encouraging as many lawmakers as she can, so she rents billboards?
That's never going to pass anywhere. That's free speech. She has a right to do that.
Okay. Well, no, this is existing laws. The question is, would her $75,000 fine be upheld?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it shouldn't be.
I agree. I'm surprised you agree, because she didn't write a letter to her.
I favor free speech, all free speech, whether I like it or I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you like people to go by the rules. You would rather she just wrote a letter to her lawmaker.
No, I don't have a problem with that. Free speech is free speech.
That's right. You go to a lot of protests and things.
That's right. I'm up at the post office at Lewisburg every weekend.
Oh, well, that's a good thing to be. Mailing mail, though, right?
Right.
Mailing cards. All right, to your lawmakers. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phone. We are talking about the president and the Democratic debate and the president's nasty, racially tinged remarks about Baltimore.
Oh, come on.
Chris, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. Yesterday you were talking about Trump and unknowns who became the nominee for the party or the president, and you listed Trump as an unknown. I thought that was kind of weird because he was a celebrity.
You didn't hear the politically, I said.
Relatively unknown.
Politically unknown.
Well, he'd been dabbling in politics for quite a while with his Obama remarks.
But he had been both a Republican and a Democrat. He was certainly had a no clear-cut pathway to where
no,
he is.
No, but not unknown seems the kind of
well, I did
okay.
say
weird way
well,
to describe
let's just stipulate.
Him.
Let's stipulate, right.
I was just curious how that came about.
Okay, what else?
The Trump you seem to have missed was from Sunday afternoon. If racist Elijah Cummings would focus more on his energy of helping the good people of his district and Baltimore itself, perhaps the progress could be made in fixing the mess that he has helped create over the years of incompetent leadership. his radical oversight is a joke. He did call Cummings a racist without giving any reason why. And he also, when I looked at when I was looking at the tweets that he actually wrote, I found out he wasn't complaining so much about Cummings because of his remarks to the immigration people. He was several of them were in particular are about his oversight into the Trump administration, and that seems to be what he was really upset about. So all that discussion about whether hitting back because of Cummings is being an effective investigator of the Trump administration, which is part of his constitutional duties.
As oversight, okay?
Yes.
Noted. Another stipulation. You're winning this call.
Gee, maybe I should say something really radical then.
Medicare for all would work, and we can afford it.
You've already done enough in that regard, Chris.
I did. Nobody disagreed with anything.
I'm being polite.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, if you're being polite, then we should discuss something serious. Like the Democrats have a lot to offer on health care. If you're talking about Medicare for all or Social Security Medicare, the system for all or whatever it is, your taxes would go way up. However, how much money are you spending on health insurance now? You have to subtract that from that figure.
Well, if I just pull the money out of my left pocket and put it in my right pocket, I'm no further ahead.
Yeah, but the question, Tom was actually saying, is it a more efficient system once you do it that way? Because you could cut out all sorts of middlemen.
And that's the same argument with all government usurpation of private enterprise. It'll be better and more efficient.
Well, healthcare seems different than owning cars or whatnot, and the means of production are a little more ambiguous in healthcare.
Well, the concept is the same. The federal government hasn't demonstrated to me that it's capable of running any enterprise better than private enterprise can run it.
I think if you look at the pension systems, if you look at the healthcare systems the government does run, that's not true at all.
Like Social Security? Oh, that's a real hallmark right there.
Or PEESERs. What is that, like
30? Social Security is one of the most popular programs in America.
Right, but they're bankrupting it by spending the money on other things. They treat the trust fund like it was a piggy bank in Washington.
Well, it's money you owe yourself. So it's,
but I don't borrow from myself, Chris.
I
save.
Mean, yeah, you can borrow it and pay interest on it, or you can borrow it from the Social Security system and only pay back what you borrow.
That doesn't help the system.
Which is more efficient.
Which, well, sure, it's cheaper to steal than it is to work.
It's not stealing.
Yes, it is. It's taking away. It's taking away money.
Social Security, with very minor changes, is solvent forever.
Oh, yeah, right. That's why they're saying it's got about 10 more years.
Everybody agrees on that, Republicans and Democrats both.
I haven't heard anybody agree on that.
Well, I guess you've been deaf for 10 years then, because they've all said that.
What? Can't hear you.
Yes, exactly.
Tone deaf. He's tone deaf.
And they have a much more sane foreign policy. The hit and miss and the Russian deference and everything is just crazy. Trump's, as they find more about Trump's people he has, the best people around him, except for the ones that are all corrupt now, which is about three quarters of the cabinet, and several resignations because of corruption. You also have two of the people helping to select national security advisors and whatnot were paid agents of foreign countries during the transition. I mean, it's been kind of a disaster from beginning to end. The swamp is much worse with Trump in charge. Look at all the lobbyists in the cabinet. and they're making sweetheart deals for themselves and for their ex-companies that they are going to be hired by as soon as they leave government service.
Okay.
That's the definition of swamp, pretty much. And Trump has been encouraging that and enabling it right along, not to mention his own personal corruption with the family and Saudi Arabia, the family in Russia. They're interested in lining their own pockets. And if you look at what Hillary did that got everybody upset with the emails, both his daughter and his son-in-law have done the same thing, even worse.
They didn't disappear.
Exactly
their
same way.
Their emails didn't disappear, though, Chris. 33,000 of them didn't go missing.
Kushner was using the thing that makes messages disappear after you read
shredder.
Them. And he was taking on his personal email, and he was doing government business and supposedly taking photos of the ones that
qualified. Not after they were requested. Hillary's were requested, and suddenly they disappeared.
That had nothing to do with her.
Oh, yes, it does. I think you can shred your personal emails anytime you want to.
The ones that she considered personal, she asked the guy to destroy them.
Okay.
And she thought they were destroyed.
She broke up her phones.
But the guy hadn't done it. And
said she only had
one on his own, without any conversation with Hillary.
She said she only had one device, and she had like six.
After the subpoena, because he realized he hadn't done it.
Hey, Chris said she had one device, and she had six. They had photographs of her with more than one device. I mean, she just lied about that whole thing.
Thank you so much for being a fabulous caller, Chris. We could not do the show without you. We got to take a quickie break. We got two callers standing by. Stand by, men. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
This is a very close race here to see who is the next caller, but our machine tells no lies.
Down your helmets. Here we go.
All right. Joe, you have time for two emails and then a caller.
One says, if Mark were to concentrate on the words coming out of his own mouth rather than putting them in Joe's, as if he were some kind of woke ventriloquist, then the show would be far more valid and stimulating. As it is, the show is descending into more of a kind of Abbott and Costello discuss current events.
All right.
I guess that's slamming both of us. Which
well,
one are you?
You're mostly me.
You're heavier than I am, so you got to be Costello.
Okay. Fine with me. Okay. Excellent email. Thank you for that. I will make a note of that.
Who's on first, by the way? All right. Norm says, what about his first 2 years? He's talking about President Trump here. What about his first 2 years when 45 had the Republican House? People were going to have pre-existing conditions covered. This is what he said in campaign in 16. He had his health care plan then, Norm points
right,
out.
But it fell apart. Because nobody, I mean,
predicated upon getting rid of Obamacare.
Right.
Instead of fixing it or modifying it, it was predicated on getting rid of it.
And it didn't have sufficient Republican support. Okay, excellent point. Thank you, Norm.
The same's true in the first 2 years of President Obama's administration when he had the House and the Senate. They couldn't get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, just because
they devolve into partisan infighting within the parties.
Just because you own a segment of Congress doesn't mean you can lockstep tell them all what to do.
I hear a dog barking. Oh, all right. Is that another editorial comment about the program this morning?
I don't hear it.
You don't hear it. Okay.
Bobby, you're on the mark. It must be a dog at your house.
No, no.
No dog
yes,
there.
Good morning, everyone. You know, as I listen to the program, there are people, of course, who call and make their, you know, opinions about the government and everything. And, of course, we are fortunate to have Fred Keller from this area who served not only the state, but cared enough to go to Washington, D.C. to try to make a difference. And, like, you know, we can complain all we want, but if there aren't legislators down in D.C. to look after the constituents in that, but at least he's trying.
Right. Well, he only did it for the money. His salary went way up from state representative of Congress. That's why he went.
Yeah, but he also cares. You know, I know Fred personally, and of course, he's into politics and government because he wants to be and he wants to make a difference.
I know. That was it was supposed to be a joke about Fred Keller.
Oh, I know.
So.
All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Now
appreciate
that. Someone calls us Abbott and Costello and you're making jokes?
Oh, yeah, about Fred Keller. He went to Washington for the salary. All right. Let's see. One more email and then Dale.
Bob says, good morning. If anybody wants health care for all, vote for Bernie Sanders. He knows how because, quote, he wrote the damn bill, unquote.
That's
lying Bob.
That's not how you spell damn.
Well, all right. It is how you spell damn if you're talking about an impoundment of water.
Right. You're talking about the York Haven Dam. Name the four dams on the Susquehanna River, Joe. We're going to keep doing this. This is your brain exercise.
Let's take the call.
All righty. Don't say the fiber dam. Dale, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I know you guys don't like me because I call a duck, but
you do what? What do you do?
The Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act. Now, they're paying for 30 candidates right now because they're not for-profit, okay? So they can use that as tax write-off and pay 30 candidates. And another thing is, the billing department for the Affordable Care Act, people don't understand, is they're running a pill mill through this. And the whole thing with that is they're not going to give it up, and they just wiped out 75% of our white youth. So I think there's a class action lawsuit. Ain't the billing department the same as, the super firm running it, the billing department and the spending department? So, I just want to tell people that's the only way they're staying afloat is the pill mill they're going on. And, Joe can say, what do you think, Joe? You don't think that's how they're staying afloat and paying for 30 candidates?
He got you on that one, Joe.
No, a duck is a duck, right?
Quack.
That's serious. Shouldn't there be a civil lawsuit against the billing department for the Affordable Care Act?
What billing department?
The super firm that's running the Affordable Care Act.
Well, I'm sorry, you've lost me. What super firm is running the Affordable Care Act?
We have to find that out. There's about six of them that's running the United States, and that's why no one's getting. We're all getting their, what do you call them? Well, gouging our dollars.
Well, which one of the six?
For services we're not getting.
Which one of the six is running the Affordable Care Act?
I don't know, Joe, but do you agree with me that they can pay for 30 candidates and they're not for profit and. The whole thing is they just killed 75% of our white youth population. What do you?
They killed 75% of young white people.
Yeah, opioid overdose. 75% of the young youth.
75%.
Then today the Affordable Care Act said they're raising rates because they're paying for 30 candidates.
All right,
Dale.
Come on, Joe. Call a duck, Joe.
Yep. Come on, Joe. Just
Dale.
You're a little guy. You're not one of the big boys.
Forgive me.
No, come on.
If 75% of young people were dead, there'd be massive news stories and
75% of the white youth.
White youth are dead. Not all youth.
We're high in that. Okay. So.
Okay. Oh, they're
right
not dead. They're just
all
high.
White men. Okay. So shouldn't there be a civil lawsuit for someone who, honestly, that's how Affordable Care Act. Got afloat.
Well, against whom would you file if you don't know the name of the one of the six groups that's running the country?
Who's running the legal process for the Affordable Care Act? That's who we go right after.
Well, that's got to be the Bar Association.
And they're running the whole country. So, they got 30 candidates up there. So now they're going to raise our rates. It's in the front page. They're going to raise our rates up.
Tighten down my foil here.
Well, this is terribly bad timing, but we have another call coming in, Dale. So thank you so much for checking in. He ran rings around you logically. You'll have to admit that.
Well, he ran rings around me, all right. I'm not certain how logical.
All right. Emails, please. Both of them. Might as well go ahead.
I need to calm down for a minute here. Rich says, when the debate started and the American salute was being played, I was expecting one of the far lefters to take a knee. Maybe one of them will do it tonight. I enjoyed listening to all the lies and confirmed to myself that none of last night's candidates have a clue. This was Rich referring to the night before his debate.
Right.
Last night, everybody I saw had their hand over their heart.
And some of them were mouthing the words.
And another email says, given the debate moderators are not there to interject personal opinions, do either of you think it was appropriate for Don Lemon to ask, quote, what do you say to those Trump voters who prioritize the economy over the president's bigotry? We want to get into that topic. We haven't been able to do it yet, but I agree with our writer completely. It was terribly inappropriate, and Don Lemon should be censured for that kind of question.
But is he a news anchor or is he an opinion person?
Well, whatever he is, they allowed him to moderate the debate.
Right.
You know, I don't think you inject your own opinions in. You're there to find out what the candidates think.
Well,
how do you come back? Who on the Democratic stage is going to say, well, wait a minute, Don, you're wrong here about the president being a bigot? Or
it's not like he said the president was a socialist or something that can't be proven.
Well, he said he was a bigot.
Right. Half the country thinks the president is a racist. So it's not, granted, it's not like pure fact that you can prove empirically, you know, by mathematics or something like that. Half the country will say it's easily provable. Just look at his body of work. And half the country says, oh, he's the least racist person in the world. But in any event, I think he is a commentator that thinks the president is a racist. That, in, of course, Don Lemon, as we pointed out on the show, sees everything through the race window. So I just think it's perfectly appropriate. If you bring a racially sensitive person who's well aware of the president's bigotry on the show, that's the kind of question you're going to get. It's perfectly appropriate. Just as Jake Tapper is going to ask questions that are going to be more objective and more pure fact-based. That's
the way
he
answer.
Is.
Now, here's the way. You've been around long enough to know this, Mark. Come on, Mark. Come on. Think straight here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You can ask the question, there are many people who think the president is a bigot, and they seem to prioritize the successful economy over that concern. Do you believe that the president is a bigot, and do you believe that his supporters are more interested in the economy than anything else?
Joe, now when have I ever said there might be somebody in the room that's more worried about their 401k than the president?
You say that all the time
to
on
you.
This program.
Okay,
on this
all right. So I guess it is okay if you word it right. Dan, you are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I was going to talk about health care, so I'll start out with that. You know, half of them people last night are for a total government controlled system. Right now, one out of every six people work in the bureaucracy. Now, can you imagine if we get government controlled health care, it'll probably be one out of three people working the bureaucracy. Just what we need, more government workers sitting at a desk shuffling papers.
What if we had the Medicare for All administered by private companies?
You know, here's the thing, Mark. Now there's certain doctors won't even take Medicare. If you tell them you're on Medicare, you tell them which system you have, they won't. They say, well, you have to go to a different doctor. So a lot of them don't even care for the Medicare system because they're limited what they can get paid.
Is that legal?
Well, I don't know legal, but I've had it happen personally. I know personally it can happen depending on what supplement you have.
Well, and look at the charade, Dan. Look at the charade they play. I'm sure you, like me, I get a summary every month of my health care costs on Medicare. And it will say that the procedure I had at Geisinger Medical Center was billed at $4,580. Medicare approved 29 cents and paid 18 cents, and I owe the rest.
That's exactly
it's ridiculous. Joe, if you're going to have a cost and the cost of the procedure is $500, then that should be the cost of the procedure. You know, they shouldn't be billing it for twice or three times that amount, knowing that you'll get less.
Well, as we've talked about, too, hospitals charge cash-paying customers less than they do, or I'm sorry, insurance companies less than they do cash-paying customers. You know, if you go in there and you say, I'm going to pay for my own procedure, here's $500, that they'll take the whole $500, but if the insurance company reimburses them, they only get $400.
But you can negotiate the price, and many people have done that. You can go to the hospital and say, look, I've got, what can you do for $500? Well, we could take out half your appendix.
I need my appendix out. Okay, that'll be $2,000. Well, do you have a little wiggle room? Can you come down a little bit on that? Yes, go ahead.
You want your appendix taken out by the lowest bidder?
Go ahead and... you say it like that.
That's the problem, you know, and the second thing on the debate, you know, they did not bring up that Mueller investigation barely at all because they know it's a dead duck. They know Trump's completely innocent of everything they tried to accuse him of. The best thing, or I'd say the worst thing they do, the only thing they play is the race card. They play that race card, and they're way over playing it so hard that Trump, I agree with your one caller, they keep playing the race card. Trump's going to beat him so bad at the ballot box, it's not even going to be laughable. And he's going to, and they won't be laughing. What are they going to do? The last time they were going to leave the country, some of these people on the left, they never left, but I don't think they'll leave now. They know it's a booming economy, and actually Trump's doing a very good job. So you can't keep beating that race card.
Well, I think the only reason race came back up again is because the president had his Baltimore remarks. Now, again, as I stipulated Monday, I didn't think they were really that racially motivated.
No,
I think they're just anti-Elijah Cummings. But all right, Dan, we got another caller standing by.
Yep, you guys have a great one, great show. Again, you have both sides of the issue today.
Well, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Not all the Trump group.
Thank you for calling Abbott and Costello to discuss current events. We appreciate it.
All right.
I think he's kind of right.
Good
there. Oops, I'm sorry. I cut off before. This button is sensitive here. Lance, last caller before a quickie break. You are on the mark.
Okay. Why? Do you remember 1972?
Vaguely, yes.
Big flood. I was about 11 years old.
Oh, they were, the Democrats were running a real nutcase, you know, McGovern. Left winger.
Oh, he was a good guy.
But Nixon carried, what was it, something like 46 states.
Quite a few of them, yes.
Barely one.
Pretty amazing. But anyway, we talk about the health care. Dan is really right about the cash customers really giving a super discount.
No, I said that.
Listen to this. Now, this is really absolutely true. In 1978, my sister-in-law was in Sunbury Hospital giving birth baby. So was the neighbor lady. Their dairy farmers had no insurance. Till it was all done, it was $3,200 for my brother and a little over 12 for the no insurance. And that's the truth.
What's the difference again? I'm sorry, I took my headphone for just the wrong moment off. Go ahead. What'd the cash person pay?
The cash person was over $1,200.
For the baby.
And was about $3,200, you know, for my brother's wife. So
that's crazy.
Covered by insurance.
Yeah. But really, it's really true. Now, the health care being so expensive, in order to do anything, you're going to have to reform tort law, which seems pretty hard to do given the second largest contributor to the Democratic Party are tort lawyers, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's a given. And you take a look in the other countries, I mean, our liability here is about open-ended. And it's very much limited in the other countries. Matter of fact, there is no punitive liability in the British healthcare system whatsoever. So what they're liable for is fixing anything that they made bad, of course. But then any punitive damages are gone. even anything connected with the government. Germany, years ago when we had Marx, I remember this, was a huge rail disaster over there back in the 90s, you know, before the euro. The most that the government had to pay was $500,000 to any of the victims, survivors. And even up to this day now, you remember that crazy Luftwaffe pilot that ran the airliner into an Alp? Remember that?
He wasn't a Luftwaffe pilot. He was a Lufthansa pilot.
Okay,
Lufthansa. The Luftwaffe was the World War II German Air Force.
All right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Older now.
Well, but anyway, the most that anybody is going to get is 100,000 euros. You know? And I see that as if the government takes over, well, yeah, of course it's going to get cheaper. Same way with the drugs. It's open-ended liability on any drug that you produce in this country. And the governments in the other places, they get them really cheap. Why, of course, you know, you say, you know, they give us a amount of liability, you know, that we are in for. Why, we give it to our actuaries, and of course they can give you a price. So that those are the things that really, really matter there. And with taxes, okay? Their idea that folks are going to put out and move and shake, you know, regardless of how they're taxed and how much of you take away from them, I mean, that idea is quite farcical, don't you believe? I mean, it defies human nature and common sense.
Yep.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. One last thing here.
Speak up, please. Go right ahead.
Okay. Joe, did you send for your Reagan calendar yet?
No, I didn't.
Well, you better.
Well, I'm having some second thoughts. I heard the comment that he made to a conversation with Richard Nixon I wasn't really wild about.
Oh, come on.
Said that, the representatives of the African countries were dancing around. They were uncomfortable wearing shoes. That was a rather racist remark, I thought. But I still stand up when I hear his name. Because Dick Nixon could bring out the worst in anybody.
He's not standing right now because nobody mentioned his first name.
I mean, that was then. And he's doing an awful lot for our youth out there. I mean, that ranch, it really does.
Yeah, he does. Well, I forgive him.
All right.
I'm sure he'd apologize if he were alive today.
Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is the open line. We'll take a quick break. We will be right back. All right, we got three lines lit up. That's the way to be. 1-800-795-9565. Harry is a working-class dog, so we're not going to make him wait. Go right ahead, sir. You're on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, all the talk with he's a racist, they're a racist, whatever. You know, it's kind of funny. That becomes it's almost become a crutch anymore. If you disagree with somebody, you have to call them a name. They're a racist, a misogynist, sexist, a homophobe. And the fact of the matter is, we say we want to bridge a divide, but we really don't as a society. We want to just blame somebody for something. And I think that's what's going on here. I don't think that Trump is a racist. I think that he is the same person he's always been, where he's very bombastic. He's got an opinion about everything. And his opinion has always been right. He was like that when he was in just a up-and-coming real estate investor and speculator. He's like that now. And he'll be like that till the day he dies. Does that make him right, wrong, or indifferent? Depends on your outlook. I mean, if you look at Chris, because of the fact he's not a Democrat, he's going to be wrong. If you look at Dale, I can't look at things the way Dale does. I don't have enough aluminum foil in my life to look at things like Dale does. But the fact of the matter is, we use the word to make us feel better about ourselves. And that's the biggest issue, not whether somebody is saying it or not saying it.
Yes.
Is that a question? I'm sorry.
No, that's just my...
We had
my own humble expert opinion.
Well, I see what you mean, and I think half the country agrees with you that the president isn't a racist, but the other half is certain that he is, so you have that going. And, yeah, I think we do blame people, but I think that's our nature today.
But his point was that you have to call somebody a name if you disagree with them,
right?
And that's a terrible thing, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. Joe's being an idiot about this, but I think you are right,
well,
Harry.
You're being a fool, but other than
that. But Mark, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, when you say half the country thinks that he is and half the country thinks that he isn't, that shows more of a divide trying to label somebody than it, as much of a divide labeling somebody as it does other issues. You know what I mean? It's just, if you really want to solve what is or is not a problem, work at the problem. Don't just call somebody a name with it. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's an excellent point, Harry. An excellent point.
Well, and very little coverage of it, but some was Dr. Ben Carson went to Baltimore yesterday to try to smooth things over. Held some sort of a news conference. I wouldn't be able to say that I know what the content of the news conference was because it got so little
Nobody
coverage.
Nobody reported it, right.
Right. Well, the Washington Post did. That's why I happen to know about it. But it didn't get any mainstream coverage, but he was there to try to smooth over some of the dilemmas, and Carson is his HUD secretary.
Did the Baltimore Sun cover it?
I would not know that. Probably. It's right in their backyard. Thank you, Harry.
Thanks, Harry.
And thanks for being you. We appreciate that. Who's next?
Cindy.
Cindy's on the mark. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I haven't been listening to the show. I just tuned in, but I wanted to say I watched part of the debate last night, maybe the first half or three-fourths of it. I was astounded at the attacks on Vice President Biden. I mean, it was like he took incoming from the better part of half, if not more, of his fellow Democrats on the stage, and on every issue, I was really pretty shocked to see how harshly he was judged by his peers in that whole debate. But it brings me to the what I thought was most interesting, and I came to understand, was about Medicare for All. And I think that either people are confused about Medicare, or that's a real abuse of using Medicare to describe this. They need a new name. Because in Medicare, you, the patient, you pay. In Medicare Part A, which covers just the hospitalization, you've paid taxes all your working life off your paycheck. If you look on there, you'll see it towards Medicare, right? And the first $1,300 of your costs when you go in the hospital are yours to pay. So the idea that this is going to be free is absurd. Or it's not actually Medicare. Then, if you want an insurance that pays for office visits and outpatient therapy, that's another thing. That's another plan, Part B. And you have to pay, based on your income, either $135 at this point dollars a month or roughly $200 a month, depending upon, again, what your income is. So it's not free by any stretch of the imagination. You know, then if you want Advantage and or the drug coverage, you're paying again. So I think people are confused. I think they ought to stop using Medicare for All if they intend that it's not a charge to the patient. Because there are lots of charges to patients in the Medicare system.
So call it what it might be, whether it's universal health care. If it is Medicare for All, it's certainly not free health coverage for anybody.
Well, and you do need a supplemental plan if you're going to pick up the difference, that percentage. So that's still going to be commercial insurance unless they modify that too.
Well, and I understand, I just think it's either doing an injustice to what Medicare is, which is partially funded by your neighbors and partially funded by you. If it's all going to be paid for, that's not Medicare, because Medicare is not free to senior citizens. Only the hospital part, only after they pay $1,300 every year as a deductible, and only if they have worked and paid Medicare taxes. So, you know, I think this is a real confusing issue. I was astounded that Senator Harris wouldn't acknowledge that people would lose the private health insurance they had. I was just astounded that she couldn't bring herself to acknowledge that her plan, she's apparently conjured up a different plan, that this plan, it actually makes having your health insurance illegal. You can't have private health insurance. You can only have public health insurance. course, I get that, because what they're trying to do is draft the healthy people to pay premiums, and in this case through taxes and or premiums that you're actually billed, to contribute to paying for the sick people. You know, that's why she wouldn't acknowledge that most fundamental thing is distressing to me, because, you know, Obamacare was predicated on lies. Finally, the press has acknowledged this. So why would they repeat that mistake? Why would they put forward yet another program predicated on lying to people? Be honest about it. Upfront, honest about it.
So they're not going to have your vote in next year.
Well, if they were upfront and honest about it, they wouldn't get any votes. People
but they're going to get the bill. This is like somebody coming to my house and selling me some kind of fancy service. Oh, you're going to love this, yada, yada, yada. And then suddenly I get the bill. Well, what's with this? You never told me I'd have to pay for it. You know, that's just, we would consider that fraudulent behavior, I think. We would deceptive practices, et cetera, et cetera.
And the
government, in their infinite wisdom, would punish that person for lying to me when they were selling me this thing. But then they engage in the very same behavior without any reticence. It's astounding.
Well, if there was a charge against deceptive behavior, we'd probably have very few political people involved.
Thank you so much, Cindy. Appreciate
the call.
1-800-795-9565. Speedy dialers only. We've got a quick commercial break. We've got two emails pending, but we'll take a caller. 1-800-795-9565. I invite you to do as I have done many times, and that not because my car breaks down a lot, because I take station vehicles and my own vehicles to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where they specialize on all types of service. You're thinking, that doesn't sound like a specialty. That sounds like everything. Well, that's what they do. They specialize in everything. Whether your vehicle needs an alignment, you've got a body shop, maybe it needs one of those new PCV valves, maybe the gas pedal's sticking. It just doesn't matter what it is. They can fix it. Doesn't matter if it's a tiny little smart car or a great big enormous tractor trailer truck with dozens of wheels. Any size vehicle can be tip-top, fixed up, ready to go at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They even have a car wash, so you get your vehicle back clean. They do state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They are open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. until 2 p.m. The Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. I'll see you there soon.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Ask and ye shall receive. Speedy dialer Lance is back on the line. You get a minute. Go ahead, sir, and speak loudly. We don't have the best connection with you today, but please go right ahead.
Okay. We might have a better one right now.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay. Now, insofar they're talking about enforcing the gun laws we already had, one of the big ones in Philadelphia was for straw purchases. They were averaging 25 a month. Where they were seizing a gun that had been misused, and found that it had been purchased by somebody who then gave it to the person who did the deed. Now, those people should go to jail for it. But when they looked way on back, nobody ever had for all that time.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's what the Attorney General is looking at. Existing laws, and enforcing existing laws.
There's your minute, and we're out of time.
Yep,
thanks for calling.
Okay, doggone it. I had a little more, but...
Well, sorry. We can't run past 10 o'clock.
There'll be a brief open phones tomorrow. It's Financial Friday with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. We'll look at the jobless figures. Snyder County's jobless rate will go up because of Wood Mode. We'll talk about that. And then Jennifer Rager Kay, the Democratic candidate in the 85th District. Joe's got a retirement lengthened weekend. Enjoy, sir.
See you Monday.
This is WDKOK Sunbury.